Pelicans on a back-to-back. Take down Detroit 125-116. Let's talk about it. Presented to you by the Birdsall Law Firm, the official injury lawyers of Pro Pels Talk, located at 918 Poydras Street by the Superdome. Give them a call at 504-523-5413 if you or someone you know has been involved in an accident. Birdsall Law Firm, the official injury lawyers of Pro Pels Talk. Chris, Chaz, Lito, and Ross joining tonight. Lito is in the building tonight. Let's start with you. Let's just start with CJ McCollum again, gutting it out, not 100%. Playing hard, being a veteran leader. I know. I see the looks. I don't care. Lito, give it. Oh, I caught myself there. 33 points for CJ. Lito, what'd you see from him tonight?
Yo.
Hey, shout out to you for you. You don't sound 100%, but you know what? You showed up. You're here tonight. So I appreciate you.
I'm here for my teammates, man.
That's good. That's good stuff.
Man, CJ was a bucket first and foremost. Like he was given. It didn't matter who it was, whatever Detroit player was on him, Cade, Jaden, he caused Jaden Ivey some fucking problems. Jaden Ivey was pissed. He couldn't do nothing with him. And then on the other side, Herb had him in fucking Angola, but we talking about CJ right now. CJ was incredible. CJ looks like he's an all-star form at this current moment. Like CJ's been playing like the best player on this team for the stretch of games. He is, as I tweeted earlier, the best trade in Pelicans history. And, motherfucker. Yeah.
Oh, coming in hot tonight. Coming in.
Yeah.
He used the, God. I can't even say what I want to say to that, but I,
nah, I'll but text like, you. Go ahead. CJ is, bro, like he a bucket, man. He a problem. Like, I don't even understand, you know, what you do, like you know who's out, and CJ just steps up and he made that shit like easy. He made winning plays. He made everybody
winning plays. Okay, I'll go. Chaz, he's in the first half, 9-13 from the field. I don't know how many three pointers. I don't have it right here in my notes, but 25 points. I mean, CJ once again showed up tonight, the veteran leader of this team.
What you saw tonight from CJ, you saw a person with an incredibly high IQ at the right time. When the jumper wasn't fault, first of all, the process and brand of basketball this team has played the last three games, I don't know what's different, but the process and brand of basketball that this team is playing right now is a lot different, right? Even with some of the shots that CJ didn't hit, they were good decisions. Got into the mid-range, was able to manipulate defenders, initiate contact when he had opponents in the air. A lot of really good up-and-under moves, scoop layups, really good English off the glass, good facilitating in the half court. I just thought CJ just an incredible display of leadership, slipped and had a nasty fall in the fourth. I don't know what the hell that was about. And then you had, I think it was a wet spot on the floor or something like that. Yeah. And like you mentioned, you know, the man's sick. You know, the man showed up to work sick, like Lito. You know what I'm saying? You got to respect the guy who shows up to work sick. You know what I'm saying? Especially, you know, CJ, he's a vet. He got the cachet in this league to say, I'm tired. Let me go sit down. And look, CJ is going to be making less money than he's making now moving forward. Imagine if he had the gall, the carelessness, the total lack of self-awareness to ask for even more money. I mean, come on. Can you imagine a person like that? Anybody know anybody like that?
Chris, CJ McCollum, go ahead. I do know someone like that.
Total.
Chris, go ahead.
Total professional, man. Total professional. Not like, look, man, it's not like, you know, CJ's not in his 20s anymore. And we all talk in the offseason about people that had things to prove. And the way people were kind of dismissing CJ based off of the injured end of last season that he had, and before even the injuries carrying for, you know, the absence of others. And here he is again, carrying for the absence of others. Game after, I mean, you got flight troubles. You know, you don't get in like, you know, Justin, you talked about it before, like an AAU team. You fly in the same day back home. You already sick, right? you know, you're playing a young team. Even if Detroit's on the end of a back-to-back, they're also a young team, young legs. And you go out there and you drop 33, drop what, 25, 23 in the first half? That's what a professional is supposed to do. That's what a leader does. That's what someone who is serious about winning basketball games through the process, even if it means we're in game four, game five, whatever it is, I'm serious about winning. And he said that the minute he walked into training camp, you could see it. You could see the shape that he was in. You see, you know, you saw the mental resolve last year and the toughness. He's just, you know, he set an example just like someone else that was on the floor right now, well, tonight, JV.
Yeah, that's what I was going to get with that. Five joined the show. Ross, let's talk about Jonas Valanciunas too. I mean, another guy, double-double tonight. He played 20-something minutes last night, comes up 23 and 13. I mean, those two guys, you count on them every single night, and they show up. Whether they're feeling bad or not, those two guys show up.
Yeah, it's gotten to a point where, like, there's just some guy, like, my expectations for what I expect from JV are above what they should be, because he's been so consistent and because the way he plays and because of how often he's on the floor. He's not as good as I expect him. Like, if you ask other people around the league, like, oh, what do you think of JV? They're not going to appreciate him for I think what he is. And I have so much respect for the guy, because night in and night out, he's asked to play different roles depending on who's on the floor. There's some nights like tonight or like last night where you really need him to step up and to, you know, kind of take on a bigger piece of the offense or the rebounding or the toughness. And it just seems like whatever you need from him, he's just kind of always ready. Sometimes you think about that from bench guys, like, hey, you got to know, like, you might not play tonight, but when we need you, you need to be ready. He's a different version of that, in that he starts and his role might change or the expectations of him might change. And he kind of just always seems to deliver in some form or fashion.
Yeah. And shout out to everybody that's here. The whole crew's here tonight. It doesn't matter if you're sick, you're tired, whatever. We're all here. So we all showed up for each other. So that's awesome. Five joined the show. Can we please talk about Matt Ryan? I mean, like, sign this guy yesterday, dude.
Say something about Matt Ryan? Okay. I feel like I owe the man an apology. I really do. Chris said this before we started, that I don't like anybody. I don't think anybody's good. And I'll be honest. When this went around, I said, oh, my expectations for this guy are, you know, if he plays, we're probably in trouble. You know, I'm not sure that his shooting is really game ready, that it sort of translates. He's a standstill shooter. And this dude has shut me the fuck up.
There it is.
No.
I thought he was great. I really did. That dude was on the street 10 days ago. And not only have we given him way more time than he ever would have expected, his ass started today and shot the shit out of it. Like, that's tough to do, man.
First career start. Five, go ahead.
No, man. Again, this kind of goes back to the time me and Justin saw him in the gym for their first time. And it was like, yo, nah, this isn't, I get it. You know, guys knock down shots. You're like, yeah, he can shoot. But no, like, the movement was there. Like, I told Justin when we were standing right there, I think he might have missed three shots out of, like, maybe 60. It was like, really impressive. And I don't know if that's super normal for guys, because, I mean, I see Trey Murphy shoot, but, like, yeah, he doesn't miss. But you see a guy off the street not miss, it's like, I think that guy can play. And he really came to the perfect place for him, right? Like, a team that literally needed his skill right now. So it's, again, when I said, when I was talking about Trey, like, it's going to be super glaring that when Trey's not there, like, this is almost that, like, he ain't Trey Murphy, but this just gives you a glimpse of what it would have looked like, the space it kind of operates. And for guys like JV, that works. For guys like Zion, a guy like that works. When you have people, you know, clogging up the lane, it goes against their usage. It goes against them. So putting the right talent around him, and shout out to Matt Ryan for being ready. Dude played 30 minutes. Like, 30 minutes. It's kind of crazy that, you know, 35 minutes. You, bro, what? How many minutes in an NBA game? What, 48?
48.
Like, that's crazy to think about. You weren't even on an NBA team. You got cut for some reason. The Timberwolves let you go. We didn't know why. I hints why probably Ross said they're like, well, there got to be some kind of deficiency about this dude. He can't play defense. Can he rebound? Well, I don't know really what it is. I can't really tell you what he's like bad at. I know he can play basketball for sure.
Can I add a quick point to Matt Ryan? Respect to Jordan Hawkins. Respect to him and his effort on the boards and everything he does. But this is why you don't draft specialists. Because you can get a guy like Matt Ryan off the street. They always available. And it's because, look, you see with the Miami Heat, they just happen to find these guys. Lakers just really good at finding these guys. Dale Demps was a master at finding guys like this. Roger Mason Jr., Anthony Morrow, just – you know, they're just easy to find guys like these. So it's just like, it's, you know, it's water under the bridge because Jordan Hawkins is proving himself to be much more than just a specialist at this point, because that shot ain't falling. But I will say this is why a lot of people had such an issue with you taking a specialist or quote-unquote specialist at 14.
Yeah, both good points. Well, let's talk about the guy you were just talking about, Chaz. We'll go with Lito. Jordan Hawkins. Struggle a little bit tonight. I want you to talk about Matt too, Lito. But, we were in the group chat and we were texting about, you know, Jordan Hawkins has to hit these open shots. We talked about being rookie and fast paced and things like that. The looks, though, that he is getting and it's being generated for him are wide open. And you got to think eventually those are going to start falling because you know he can shoot.
I'm not concerned at all. The process, and I get it. When you look at the box score, you see 1-for-7 from the field, 1-for-5 for 3. I understand that, but when I'm looking at the game, I'm seeing him pick up on and do nuanced stuff that he won't get a point for. I see the movement. I see him. He's talking. He's pointing. That we score, he comes down on defense, and he's the one who set up our defense. He was telling guys where to be. I really feel like when you for a young guy, a rookie at that, to come into a game with a CJ McCollum, a Jonas, a Larry on the court, and be like, hey you go over, you know what I'm saying? Like that takes, you know, it takes some cojones. Like you really gotta respect the situation. You asked me about Matt Ryan also.
Yeah.
Matt shot the leather off that motherfucker. Matt is unconscious. He does not. Him and Jordan suffer from the same disease. They suffer from delusion. They don't believe that. Yo, I saw Matt. I think Matt at one point he missed like 3 in a row, and then he got into this move for whatever reason. Instead of just shooting the ball, he was putting it down. He was traveling, or either he was stepping out of bounds. And then the next time he got it, he was just like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to shoot it. And then, like, he just makes it. Like, the thing with shooters is their memory has to be terrible. Because the last shot don't matter. It's always on to the next shot.
Mm-hmm. And I'm about to get to 5 here in a second, Chris. But the two that have similar things with Matt Ryan, Jordan Hawkins, they don't stop moving. Those guys just continuously move. Chris, before I want to get to 5, but I want to go back to Jordan Hawkins for a second. Because you in your live, someone had asked a question about the UConn basketball program. The guy, Jordan Hawkins, he makes winning plays because he's part of a winning culture already in college. And so I think winning a national championship, going through that March Madness run that they went through, has really helped them here in the NBA. But 5 said wanted to chime in on Hawkins. So go ahead, 5.
I think this is, you know, him, you know, having dead legs after his real first road trip, right? Like, you know, he just, it's almost like playing AAU. That's what it looked like. Like they got here today and played a basketball game. And the young kid that wasn't used to taking, you know, 19 shots, got off that flight and was like, yeah, because, you know, he uses a ton of his legs and his jumper, and everything was short. Yeah. Everything was short. So you're like, all right, I can see how you ended up here. I can see how, you know, you were short in your jumper and were kind of missing a lot because you just weren't there. You're not used to it. You would expect the other guys that are used to it, you know, to fill the void. But you're putting that pressure on a young guy in Jordan Hawkins, and yeah, he should fail.
Justin, before you move on, I to Fav's point, right? The national championship game where Jordan hit pretty much the game when it coming off a curl, hit like almost a free throw line jumper. He literally did that shit tonight. He he took the same shot tonight. It just didn't go in. But dog, the process of it, it looks beautiful. He gets it. His feet were set. The release was perfect.
Yeah, and Chaz has said multiple times, his shots don't miss really bad. A lot of them rim in and out. Like they pop in and out. That's not crazy. You know what, Chris? I'm giving you Dyson. Okay, here you go. Here's your go ahead. Take Dyson Daniels. Here you go. This is your segment, Dyson Daniels.
That wasn't
Justin on fire.
Right, you hear him? Chaz giving me looks tonight.
I'm curious about that wasn't. Listen, Dyson. We gonna say the Dyson conversation for the end of the show.
Okay.
Mm. But me, I actually want to talk about her. All
right.
I feel like when talking about her, I'm doing him a little bit of a disservice because I keep saying, like, you know, he went 6 for 7 tonight, and we say like he makes the most of his opportunities and he's timely. What he really is efficient and nice like this. That's really what it is. When you go 6 for 7 and you end up with 21 points, like you have to. Now, granted, there are nights where you get the Oklahoma City game where he looked bad. In the Warriors game, he looked bad, falling in love with shots. But when Herb is in the right mindset, you know, and I think there were a lot of timely buckets that he made, just being able to know this is my time to make something happen. It wasn't drawn up for him. It was something in which he just decided, yo, this is, you know, out there with 5 fouls, how he didn't end up with 6. It feels like Herb didn't have 5 fouls pretty much every game. You know, it's kind of the Herb Jones experience, for better or for worse. But not fouling, still going out there and finding ways to make plays on the defensive side of the ball. I think he ended up getting a block, his fourth block with 5 fouls at that moment. A lot of guys won't end up doing that. But I think the way Herb played today was really important for them. He was a dude. Someone else had to step up as a creator. And shout out to Herb. And at some point, if he continues to play this way and not believe that he has to, no matter how much he's improved and worked on his three-point jumper, that's the way for him to continue to pack this offense, even when they're healthy. You're talking more than just someone who makes the most of his shots or someone who just picks his spots. You're talking someone who can be really efficient at his position.
The Pelicans have agreed to a two-way with Jeremiah Robinson Earl.
Y'all know who that is?
I really don't.
Who?
Yeah, I know who he is.
They're from Villanova.
Yeah,
look up his dad. I've heard that of him. You might want to look up his dad.
Okay,
that's a dude who shot Meg Evans.
Jesus Christ,
that's the only arrow I even know.
Jesus Christ, Herb was
incredible. Herb, to Chris's point, his opportunities. I think when a game plan is set, you know, for whatever reason, we feel like there can be no deviation to that if the situation you're in doesn't suit your skill set. It was points tonight where Herb saw the jumper and he knew it hadn't been falling. And he looked at who was in front of him. Dog, I can't think of the guy. Joe Harris. Joe Harris was in front of Herb and he looked at him like, I'm about to just tell you to fucking, like, I'm about to look the layup about this. And he got an and one. I think a couple of them. He had like two and ones. He just made the most of his opportunities, man. Like, be a basketball player. You don't have to play the role that's set for you.
9 of 9 from the free throw line. He did 9 of 9 from the free throw line.
I didn't even know that was Joe Harris. I thought that
he looked crazy. He looked crazy. Oh, what the fuck he at the end of through? Why he got a headband on, brother?
Bro, like.
It's bad, yo, bro. He had a bad part of life.
Hey, he looked like, no. Hey, he looked like, hey, Justin Timberlake, man in the woods.
Detroit will do that to you.
My dog need a wellness check, man. Y'all got to check in on Joe Harris, man. Call your people, man.
All right, let's do it. So we'll start with 5. This Brandon Ingram thing. This isn't like whatever, okay?
I was just fucking with you, Justin.
Are you... What are your thoughts on this Brandon Ingram thing?
Oh.
Man, listen, I'm tired, bro. I'm tired of having the same conversations. I think that's the most important thing. Yeah, I don't know if you really hurt, but I'm tired of you being hurt. I think that's the real issue.
Like, oh, shit.
This at what point is Brandon Ingram going to play basketball for a significant amount of time for this team? Like, I don't want to hear the stories about, you know, CJ having to call you out allegedly. I don't want to hear the stories about, you know, this happened and people around the building saying, bro, I just want to see you play basketball. That's what I want to see. I want to see the three of you play basketball for an extended amount of time to see how good this team can be. And then we could just talk about that rather than, is Brandon going to play tonight? What? That's the bar? That's the bar? I'm tired of it.
Yeah. And it came out today, we'll go Chris next. It came out today that Zion Williamson wasn't going to play. Then further on, I think when Willie got into this press conference, he said that this was a scheduled thing. They're not going to do it all year, but it was known that, okay, back-to-back, Zion, you're not going to play tonight. So they had a lot of issues last night. A lot of guys played major minutes. They were shorthanded. Their flight gets canceled. They got to stay in Oklahoma City. They then got to wake up this morning, fly back to New Orleans, get in at 12. No shoot around, no prep, go straight to the arena at 5. Brandon Ingram's announced out again with knee tendonitis now. So it went from, we're doing this thing again where it's knee soreness and now it's knee tendonitis. So Chris, once again, optics of like, what the hell is going on here?
It's a microcosm of the past 3 years when it comes to Brandon and different injuries. And look, like this ain't a situation, man, where folks are just like making up things. I mean, I say this all the time, like, bro, there are people on this show, like, and even like take me out of the equation. You can take anybody here out of the equation and leave someone else. There are folks that hear things that are connected or talk to people that are right there, that are in there every single day. And it's weird, man. At the end of the day, it's weird. And it's been 3 years of mystery in regards to people that have played in this league for years and years and years. Like, what's going on there? And they right there. I don't get into whether somebody hurt or somebody pain tolerance, because I don't know that. And I try to stay away from that. So even if you shout out to Kai 504, because he put this together in a way that I think makes it safe for everybody, in which he says either A, you were always hurt and you can't stay healthy, or B, you can't play when you are hurt. Not injured, when you're hurt. And we talked about this last year. It's just a recurring situation. No, I'm not asking somebody to go out there and, you know, make something worse, whatever ailment that they have, make it worse. I'm not asking them to make a fool of themselves and go and hurt the team by being out there. No, I'm asking for in an 82 game season where everybody is playing hurt, bro. You got people that played injured last year. And there's things that's floating around and saying, all right, well, he's not injured. Okay. So if you're not injured, at least for the office, you want to shut everybody up, go out there for 10 minutes. Go out there for 5 minutes. Just give it a go for your people, for your team as a leader. I understand this game. It's game 5, so on and so forth. But go out there, bro. Your team just they flew in the morning of the game after a talented team that they had to play against. A talented team, a long game, a stressful game, end up winning. Your best player isn't playing. Your most talented player isn't playing. Bro, go out there and give it a go. Am I saying go out there and injure yourself? No. Am I saying make something worse? But you got to show up for your people. At least go out there and give it something. And we keep having these conversations to where the line is blurred one way or another. And, it's fucked up, man, because I know CJ was sick. I know CJ was throwing up in the hallway. I know Larry Nance last year was out there playing with a separated shoulder. I know Larry Nance is out there with a sprained ankle. We know with CJ, and they ain't the only people. Everybody hurt, dog. Everybody is hurt. You got to go out there as the example, as somebody that people have called a leader on this team. Show up for your people. That's it.
Yeah, well said. Chaz, go ahead.
You know, I'm a bit exhausted. And not by the situation. I'm exhausted with being right about this gentleman. It's very tiresome. This guy, you know, I think the elephant in the room and the point I've been trying to really hammer home, Paul, is that the things Brandon does and gets away with, those are really good to great player things. You know what I'm saying? If you're a really good to great player, a team's tolerance should be a little higher for you because how you affect winning and team success. Brandon is a very okay player. Brandon is not a winning player. So the things that may be acceptable from a Kawhi Leonard, Paul George type guy, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, the Steph Currys of the world, Klay Thompsons of the world, even the Draymond Greens of the world, guys who drive winning, should not be acceptable from a Brandon Ingram. Now, I don't know what Brandon and Griff's relationship is, but if I had to bet money, I would say Griff is probably one of the only people that believe in Brandon Ingram. Because look at Brandon's contemporaries. Devin Booker was out of he had whatever injury he had. He's back tonight. They're getting whooped by the Spurs. But motherfucker showing up to work. You know what I'm saying? He's here. You know what I'm saying? Zion, his situation was a rest game. Rest games were designed for players like Devin Booker, for guys like Zion, guys who have injury histories, guys who are quote-unquote superstar players. You know why Brandon was able to chill yesterday? Because he's not a star player. That tendonitis designation sure is convenient when you plan on resting Zion as well. But that's a very convenient designation. If you look at what Willie Green said today, Willie Green don't know what's going on. Yet again, Brandon's hanging this guy out to dry, hanging this coach out to dry. Because what's up? You got cleared. You know what I'm saying? You got guys, you know, I don't want to say mainstream, but you got local, you know, credited, you know, journalists, and they're putting their necks out on the line. They're saying, yo, this man does not want to play. You have people with access to the team saying, yo, this guy has been allegedly called out. He's been confronted several times about playing. This gentleman does not want to play. This man is totally, this man, unself-aware. This man has zero self-awareness, right? Again, why do you make the trip to OKC if you have no, Brandon, wake up. No, he's not playing. Like, so why would you make the trip knowing you have no intentions of playing? You could have stayed. If you are hurt, why not just stay with the physical therapist back in New Orleans? Like, why risk flying? Like, you hurt, right? You injured. Flying gonna make it better?
Justin, can I add one more thing and I'm done?
Real quick, don't get to lead up.
The only thing... Everybody might feel different in regards to what frustrates them the most about this Brandon Ingram situation. And there's a bunch of different thoughts in regards to how he fits and other people fit on this team long term. I believe that with a small upgrade here and there, I think Brandon can be he is very important to this damn team. I think to beat good basketball teams, really good basketball teams, you need an option like Brandon Ingram on this team. You need it. You absolutely need it. And that is what's really frustrating. And not just from that element, these dudes don't even know how to play basketball with each other. So every game matters. You need data. So whether it's early in the season, late in the season, you can't take it for granted because you don't know when the next person going to go out. You got to show up for these people, man, because even if it's for data or what it means for the team, period, against good basketball teams, Brandon, to me, I think he matters, man. And the fact that we keep talking about this shit, 3 years going on now, you know what I mean? It's tough, man.
Yeah, and a lot of people forget to leave. Like, a lot of people talk about, well, it's only game five. It's not really game five. It's like year three. Like, it's actually year five, to be honest with you, but like, or game four, whatever it is, like, the problem we're having is that this isn't the first time this happened, the second time, or the third time. So, like, that's the frustration. So, Leo, go ahead.
I think the most frustrating part, honestly, is, man, this team came back from a miraculous deficit yesterday. They played overall a very good game today. And, like, this is the thing that we have to talk about. I really feel like, and to Chaz's point, you know, Willie doesn't know what's going on. I think it would be helpful if Brandon would speak for his self. Use his own words to clarify the situation. I really look. I tweeted something earlier. I don't understand how I watched Brown play 35 plus in a back to back at 38 years old. You know, I see CJ at 34 years old play 30 plus minutes. I see Jonas playing 30 plus minutes. How old CJ is? But the 32. I'm sorry. I mean, the age of dog. The thing is, it's like I generally don't understand, to Chaz's point also, if you're not injured, I don't understand you not playing. We all hurt. Like, we all hurt, dog. Like, if you I get it, it's five games in. Yeah, the body starts to hurt around, you know, four or five games. Like it I saw Herb was guarding Cade tonight, and he took an elbow to the chest, and he still finished the possession. And after we got the rebound, he finally rested and took a breath. Bro, you sometimes you just gotta fight through some shit. Like, it's not gonna go through. And this is not, I'm not even referencing Brandon or Zion. And when I say this, I'm just saying this in general in a vacuum. I don't understand having the potential to be whatever greatness you have and squandering it by not having the mentality to get to whatever level you need. I watched a video today about Shaq and Kobe. And it really was inspiring. Shout out to Chaz. It really was inspiring when you listen. Huh?
Chris sent it.
Oh, Chris, I'm sorry. I'm not giving Chris credit. Shout out to Chaz. I really feel like
you stepped right into it. I'm sorry.
When you look at Kobe's mentality, right? I think that, like, I know there's not enough Kobe's. I get it, but I just want the mentality. I tweeted this earlier too. I said, man, you know, I want guys to play, and I was told that everybody can't be LeBron. Brother, I'm not asking anybody to be LeBron. I'm just asking motherfuckers to play basketball. I ain't asking you to be LeBron. I just want you to step on the court. You know what I'm saying? Like, and this is the thing. It's year five. It's still a whole lot of unanswered questions. We don't know if this thing actually works for real. You know what I'm saying? And now we got impending free agency. It's money being passed around. It's a lot of things in the air, man. I don't know.
And I tweeted this stat out again today. Willie Green's coached 168 games since 2021, and Brandon Zion been played together 14 times.
Wait, Justin, what's the stat? I'm sorry. Five. One thing. What's the stat? The stat you also tweeted a stat about points scored during this era.
That was Evan. I think that was Evan.
That was Evan.
Was Evan.
Man. I'm not saying you. I'm not saying
Evan PDX.
I didn't mean it like that.
It's fine.
no, but I'm saying like that's a crazy.
I think it's like CJ McCollum 2500 and like Brandon 17 and Zion.
No,
like
that's a crazy. That's a crazy fucking stat.
Crazy stat. Ross, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't want to belabor this too much more. I mean, you guys have kind of all hit it. The frustration is it. I mean, it's past a boiling point for me. It's time for the entire organization to look at themselves, you know, the folks making decisions, and decide who needs to be here and who doesn't, who wants to be here and who doesn't, right? I think that there was a lot of patience early on, year one, year two, year three. There's no more time for patience. There just isn't. There's a window, and it windows in the NBA just open and close quick, and you reach into contracts, guys get frustrated, free agency, draft, whatever. Like, you just got to decide whether both Brandon and the team, like, do you want to be here? Like, do you want to be here and be part of building something potentially special? I think they're you know, we hadn't won a damn thing. We ain't even made a playoff series.
Phoenix.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I mean, we hadn't made a first round playoff. We hadn't been a top 16.
Okay.
Is what I mean. I mean, yeah, you had the whole play-in thing. There's nothing to hang our hat on here. Like, there's no reason to be acting this way. If you're really hurt, cool, man. Shit happens. I agree. You know, Chris, I think, said it good earlier. Like, if you're already hurt again for, you know, something that seems somewhat minor, sounds like an MRI came back clean and you're not playing. You do have to have the pain tolerance conversation. Everybody's all a little banged up. Like, you got to play. If there's no risk to, you know, risk a future injury. If not, then we really got to talk about how you feel about being here, right? Like, because there's been plenty of dudes that just say they don't want to play. Like, yeah, they don't want to be here. They don't want to play for that team, right? We talked about the Ben Simmons stuff earlier. Where are we at? Like, grow up. Be a professional.
You know who I really feel bad for? Fans. Mm. That's what I feel bad for. You know, there was a Brandon Ingram jersey giveaway. Yeah, I don't think too many put that jersey on tonight. Like, it was a free jersey. I don't think too many people put that jersey on tonight. Like, just it's ironic, right? Like, it just kind of like lines up that way. But I feel bad for people that pay their hard-earned money because they gotta go to work hurt all the time and spend their money on a team that won't show up for work. It's fucked up when you think about it. It's like, yo, like, I want to watch good basketball, and the guys that are supposed to be the really good basketball players don't play a lot. So why would I invest my money into something that doesn't give me what I want or what I asked for?
And not to mention, I'm gonna get to you in a second, Chaz, the Bally Sports fucking app not working absolutely on it's disgusting. And like, I know we're kind of joking, but like, it's disgusting. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. You can't grow the fan base if they can't fucking watch the game. It is absolutely ridiculous. Chaz, you can close us out.
Bro, I'll say this. You know why I don't have as much empathy for the fan base as well as the team just in general? They knew all of this already. It's not like all these motherfuckers went into the situation unarmed with this, you know, this information. Like, think about how tone deaf you have to be giving out Brandon Ingram memorabilia at this stage in the game. Like, everything should be Herb right now. Herb memorabilia. Like, that's all. Like, think about the level of self-awareness this organization has to have to be like, oh, y'all can't watch the game on Bally's? Well, guess what? We just extended it. Like, it's from the top down. I said this right on Media Day. This man, what's your aspirations for this year? Yo, trying to get all this money they handing out. This a total oblivious motherfucker, right? Just, you don't got to be LeBron, but this motherfucker is like a version of Royce Young. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, nah, I don't feel it today. Like, if it's not a super ideal situation, he's not going to play. And this is the thing. To me, to be honest, the last 3 weeks, offense looks much fucking better. Offense looks much better to me. Everything looks better. That's why I'm kind of like, you know, Hawkins, don't start taking the middies. I'm trying to get that out the building. I'm trying to get the mid-range shots out the motherfucking building. Like, get this guy out of here. Enough is enough. He's not even that fucking good.
And that will do.
He's not even, though. No, the chances of if this man played the next 5 years and Ben Simmons don't touch a fucking basketball, Brandon will never make as many all NBA teams. He's never going to be an all defensive player. He's going to be a fringe all star. Every motherfucker got to get hurt, suspended, caught with drugs and guns. Everybody got to be 1 foot out the league for Brandon to get any type of accolades in the NBA. The man is like 1 for 13 from the fucking 3-point arc this season. Motherfucker's terrible. He's not that good. There's no way he put up with this. There's no way a respectable organization puts up with this.
Let's get to Lito. Let's close it out.
Justin, we ain't really talk JV, dog.
Oh yeah, JV was incredible.
You got 1 minute.
That's crazy.
Chaz went on his Uber red.
Let's talk about the dudes who played. We just talked about Brandon. We talked longer than he played in about three, four fucking games. Let's talk about JV. JV.
I think get the guy involved, man. It's such a difference. You saw this last game also, like, when you cut the bullshit and stop making him I don't even know, man. Like, you treated the man like a pariah last year, and then you come back this season and you keep him on the team when you obviously should have moved him. But all he does is, when his number is called, is produce. He gets double doubles. he's been playing solid defense, regardless of what anybody has to say. He's been playing really solid defense. He was attacking Jalen during the night. He was fucking, bro. He was going, pause. He was going at his body. Like he would. I said pause first. I said pause.
Nah, brother.
I'm just saying, well, you're going to post, like, your post is not, you know what I'm saying? Like,
several blocks tonight, too, right? Didn't he have two blocks? And that's the second game with big blocks.
Yeah, three blocks.
Good save, Chaz. Good save, because, boy, he was falling, boy.
He was attacking. Yeah. That's crazy. He's attacking, he was attacking Jalen Duren, dog. That's all I'm saying.
Like, comment, subscribe. We'll see y'all on Saturday. NBA fans, the wait is over. Basketball's back, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA, is celebrating with an unbeatable offer. New customers can score $200 instantly in bonus bets for throwing down $5 on the NBA. Win or lose, it doesn't matter. You'll start the season with an instant dub. Basketball's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code BOOT. New customers can get $200 in bonus bets instantly for betting just $5, only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code BOOT. The crown is yours.
Like, comment, subscribe. We'll see y'all Saturday.
Take this body.